Hello. If you are in the process of being untangled from the occult, or you are seeking healing from extreme abuse, then this tape is for you. Elaine will help you understand what is happening in your life and give you practical advice on how to move forward. Now, here is Elaine reminding you that you are not going crazy.
Hello, my name is Elaine. I'm glad you picked up this tape. Hopefully the Lord can encourage you with it. I'm not sure what it was finally called on the outside, but I wanted it to be called You're Not Going Crazy. Because if you've come through some of the things that I've been through, you really start wondering if you're sane or not. And if you're like I was and hear voices in your head, then you're really convinced you're a space alien. I'm glad you've gotten bold and have gone to the pastor or whoever you went to who was giving you this tape, because I found that it's really important to find somebody that knows two things. One, they really know God well so that they understand the spiritual warfare and how we can have victory over the enemy. And secondly, someone who really understands the shattering that happens in your emotions when you've gone through some of the things that you've gone through. I don't know if you're familiar with the terms MPD or DID. MPD is an older term. It means multiple personality disorder. And unfortunately, when people hear that, they mostly think of those movies years ago, the Three Faces of Eve and the whatever that other one was. And it's kind of a real distorted thing that movie presented. Well, now it's called DID, Dissociative Identity Disorder, but I kind of like MPD better. I think DID sounds a little bit like an insect or a bug or something, so I prefer to have MPD. That's my background. That's why they've asked me to make this tape for you. You may not have gone through exactly the same things as I, or I haven't gone through exactly like you, but you know what? The one thing that's for sure in both of our lives, God has kept us alive up to this point. Because without God, we wouldn't have made it. And I'm hoping that as you listen to this, one of the things that you realize is you're really not alone in this. Not only does God certainly understand and know the whole story from beginning to end, but there are a lot of people like myself and others who maybe haven't found healing yet, who had to go through the same personal holocaust that you had to go through. I won't go into detail about my story, but only say that the occult was very strong in the circles that I was in, and as a result, all the abuse that came out of that and the shattering of my emotions that occurred. But now God's put me back together. And I can't say, usually when people talk about trying to find healing for some of the things you've been through, they wonder, well, how long will this take? And I've really found that it has a lot to do with two things. One, how long you had to live in that terrible situation, how much the enemy tried to destroy, or how much access he's had to your life. And secondly, how aggressively you're able, as much as you're able, to steep your mind in truth. Because that's the real key. The real key is getting to know God. I know when I used to think of God the Father, I wanted to throw up because I thought, oh, I hate him, and he hates me too, so it's mutual. I didn't realize what terrible distortions I had about God. And you probably have them too, but I'd encourage you, as much as you're able, take the beginning steps to try to get to know God a little bit more. One of the ways to do that is to, like, when you're reading in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those of you that are familiar with, that have been in church a lot, you know what that is. Some of you, others that haven't been in church that much, don't know about the Gospels. But even if you've read them a million times and they seem really familiar, why don't you start reading them, but this time, pretend you have a video camera and just watch what Jesus does. Watch how he interacts with people. Watch what he's like. And then kind of make a list of what he's like, what are the characteristics of him, because that's the real God. The God that was sometimes portrayed for us, that's hateful and wicked and all that, that was deception. That's not the real God. So I'd encourage you, as much as you're able to, begin steeping your mind in the truth of Scripture. I was at the point when I started where if you handed me a Bible, I'd throw it against the wall because I couldn't even touch it. I know other people that are like that too. If that's your case, you know what you could do? You could get a tape of Scripture, or you could make your own 3x5 cards of Scripture. And just focus. If your mind is really confused and there's a lot of noise in it, just focus on maybe one or two verses. Things that, ask the Lord, what verse do you want me to focus on? And He'll tell you. One of the things that I found really helpful when the Lord was bringing healing to me was steeping my mind in the Word of God, and secondly, saying what I called affirmations of truth. And that was things that were true, but I didn't really believe them. Like, I thought God wanted to kill me when I got to heaven. So I wrote down, God does not want to kill me. And I guess if you're haven't gone through the kind of backgrounds that we have, that might sound funny that you had to say that. But I really didn't believe it inside. I thought He did want to kill me. But the more I affirm the truth outside, and especially out loud, the more I began to really believe it, and it changed some of the distortions inside. Sometimes our emotions really lie to us, especially those of us that have been really damaged emotionally. And I think that when we find something inside that God tells us is a lie, don't wait for your feelings to change before you believe it. Choose to believe it. Say it with your mouth, and then that will have an effect on your emotions. I don't know if you're really aware of the demonic forces in your life like I was. All people don't necessarily have that have gone through a lot of traumatic events. But if you have, let me just say a little bit about that. Satan is the deceiver. He's a liar. He's the accuser. He's the tempter. But you know what? Christ is victor. There's one greater than the enemy. Those inside that have chosen the darkness because they were tricked, as healing occurs, the Lord will begin more and more to help them see that they don't really want the darkness. The darkness isn't their friend. Christ is victor. He's in the light. He's their friend. He's your friend. One of the things the enemy tried to do with me was blackmail me. If you try to get close to God, then I'll do this or that, or I'll end your life, or remember what I did, I'm strong. All those kind of lies. There's an allegory, a little picture, word picture, of two people walking up a road. They're Christians, and they're going down this road, and they see a roaring lion up ahead. And he's chained. But they don't know that right away. They just are really scared. Then when they get close enough, they see the truth that the lion is chained, and his chain doesn't reach to the road. We have a roaring lion. That's the name of Satan. But there's another one, and his name is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he's chained the roaring lion and measured the length of his chain. You don't have to be afraid of Satan. Christ is victor. Christ will begin to show you where you need to shut the doors to the enemy in your life. The enemy is there because ground was given by you or by someone else, generationally perhaps. But the Lord will show you what doors need to be shut. And in terms of the emotional healing that's needed, one of the best ways to do that is to find a godly person who understands that the Lord's concerned about healing emotions as well as working in their spirit. You need to find somebody, I don't know if it's your pastor or a Christian counselor, I'd recommend a Christian counselor, because a regular counselor doesn't come from the same starting point that we do as believers. But I'd recommend that if you can find a Christian counselor or a pastor or someone who's really has a heart to help you. There's a lot of things you can do to kind of speed up your healing besides steeping your mind in Scripture. If you can hear voices in your head that you sense aren't demonic, that it almost seems like another you or another part of you, let me explain for a minute before I say what things you might be able to do to help your own healing, what that DID and MPD is that I mentioned. When a child, especially a young child, goes through such horrible things like you went through, it's like their mind isn't built to deal with it. God didn't make our mind to have to go through these kind of things. He didn't intend for all this wickedness to happen. And he put within the mind the ability to do something called dissociate. What dissociate means is you're at one place, but you're sort of thinking about another place as though you're there. And you block out, you blank out what you're actually going through. It's sort of like most people have when they go to the dentist and they don't like the sound of the drill or how their teeth feel. So while they're sitting there, they start thinking, you know, I remember I was on vacation last summer. Let's see, I was at the beach. Yeah, and the wind, I remember the cool air from the lake. Oh, that was really neat. They're sort of distracting themselves so they don't have to remember what they're going through right then. The brain, I consider dissociation a gift of God to prevent insanity in children. What happens is, no different than a Vietnam veteran that saw something so horrible that his mind couldn't even take it in, and it just sort of put it in a box and shoved it in the corner of their mind and said, this didn't happen. And what happens is you get amnesia for that area of your thinking. It's not like you have other people inside. It's just that there's your emotions and parts of your mind are dissociated or split. You know the word association? That's the opposite. You associate together. You bring things, two things together. Dissociate means you take them apart. For example, for me, when some of the horrible things were happening to me, I could even feel myself just kind of split off inside. And I forgot what had happened until years and years later. Maybe you've started having flashbacks like some of the Vietnam vets have, where something around you reminds you, without realizing why, it reminds you of something that you've already experienced. Somebody may say something, or you may see somebody that reminds you of a person, or something, you might be going somewhere and suddenly you sort of have a picture in your head of some other time and other place. If that's happening right while you're in a situation where you can't really go back and remember that, I found it helpful to ask the Lord to put a gate around it. By that I mean I'm not pushing that memory away, I'm just saying I'm putting the Lord in charge of it. I'm just saying, I can't deal with this right now, Lord. Put a gate around it until a time when I can. That used to happen to me because I was a college professor and I'd be up in front of class and we had some flashback. Well, I couldn't take time right then to deal with it. And I didn't want the flashback, I didn't want the snapshots to become a movie because I figured it would be a movie of something terrible that had happened to me. So I just asked the Lord to put a gate around it for right now. But in the safe place where you're with a counselor or with your pastor, or you can do it yourself at home, you can help somewhat by just saying, all right, Lord, now I can deal with it. Would you show me what you want me to look at? I was really afraid to say that to the Lord because I thought I'd go crazy if I remembered. But the person who made the mind, the being who made our mind, God Himself, knows that if we would have gone crazy, if our mind would have just shattered, we would have gone crazy when we went through it originally, not now when we're just remembering it. So the fact that you're still here and sane, or I tell my friends, I'm almost normal, if you're already listening to this tape, I know God has intervened in your life, whether you know it or not, in keeping you alive, but also keeping you sane. You won't go crazy if you remember what God wants you to remember. Remember when I said about making those affirmations of truth? One of the things I said was, as I was saying, you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to go any place in my past that you want me to go, if you'll go with me. And He does. For a long time, I didn't have a counselor. And so it was kind of just the Lord and I. I joke sometimes that He was a wonderful counselor, like it says in Scripture, and His rates were really good because He didn't charge anything. But I found that I could go to the Lord, and if a memory came to my mind, or if I sensed that part of me inside was really strong, say fear, or part of me that was really afraid, or part of me that was really angry, I could go to God and say, God, what do you want me to know about that night when that happened? Or what do you want me to know about this fear inside? It's so big, it's almost, it just takes over. When a person gets triggered, what happens is that part of their mind that's way there in the corner and has forgotten what happened, the rest of the mind has forgotten what happened, that part of our mind and our emotions gets really strong, and it's almost like we think we're back there at that time when that awful thing happened. It's normal. That's part of the healing process, is to go back to wherever Christ wants you to go back to and face whatever happened and bring truth to it. I find that people that are stuck in their past compared to people that can get past their past in a real healthy way, the difference between the two is people that are stuck in their past, there's usually still lies connected with what happened. In my case, which I was forced into lots of things, the lie was, it was my fault. Or the lie could be, I didn't care that it happened. Or it was a lie that said, it didn't happen to me. I spent years trying to forget, trying to tell myself that it didn't happen, and I was really good at it. You've probably gotten really good at it, very good at it too. But part of the healing comes when the Lord takes us to the memories that we need to look at. He brings truth to them, and then there's a new wholeness in that area. It's almost like if you think of how most people think, by the way, let me tell a joke here. I'm used to thinking like an MPD. My mind thinks in little sections. But I tell my friends that haven't been through all these traumatic things and didn't end up with MPD that they're SPDs. They have single personality disorder. So we all look at life in a different way. But anyway, if you hear the voices in your head, you could start up a conversation with them. You could ask them, how can I help you? Or you could say, do you go by a name? Because sometimes parts of our thinking almost takes on a whole different persona or a whole different way of looking at themselves. It's part of us. And God's will is to bring it back. It's like an accordion. When an accordion goes way out and gets stretched, that's kind of like what happened to our mind. And the Lord wants to push the accordion back together again so that it's everything takes its rightful place. If the voices inside are parts of you, they won't die or they won't be eliminated as they're healed. They just take their rightful place. They be where they're supposed to be. Because SPDs, as I mentioned, they think, they have their emotions, but their emotions have many facets to them. They might be angry one day. They have a place for sorrow. They have a place for joy. They have a place for irritation. Their emotions respond in kind of a balanced way. But those of us that have had our mind shattered, our emotions shattered, it's as though we have little compartments, and one part has all the anger, and one part has all the sadness, and one part has all the joy. So as the Lord brings healing, He brings the parts of our emotions back together where they should be, so that we can be happy and we can be mad when we're supposed to be mad. So don't think that by finding healing we're talking about totally just killing off or doing something. I've heard people use the phrase killing off the parts of us inside. That's not what happens. But if those voices are demonic, if you've opened the door knowingly or unknowingly to the enemy's work and there are wicked spirits inside of you, then that's different than the voices. Wicked spirits work for the dark prince, Satan. But because we're in Christ, it says we're united with Him, we're one in Christ, we have authority in Christ. And part of that authority is like the authority He gave to His disciples, the followers, when He was here on earth. He gave them authority over all the power of the enemy. And there were times when I sensed that what I was hearing inside was a demonic voice. At first, I wasn't able to do it by myself. I needed somebody to help me with it. But eventually, I got where I could say, if I recognize that's the enemy there, I would sometimes ask the Lord, where did I open the door for that enemy, Lord? And he might bring something to mind, like, remember that time when such and such happened? If I knew when it started or if I didn't know when it started, it still had the same outcome. I could agree with my authority in Christ that any open door be closed. I would just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I close any door I've opened to the enemy in my life in this area. I take back any ground that I've given him that he's standing on right now, and I give that ground to Jesus Christ. I also used to pray when I was recognizing that I was wanted to get rid of the demonic forces that were strong inside of me. I was a Christian, but they were still there. Don't let anyone tell you that because they're there, it means you're not a Christian. If you've chosen Jesus Christ, if you agree that when he died on the cross, he was our substitute, that he died for me and for my sins, and you ask him, you've come to him and ask him to be in your life, to be part of your life, you've given yourself to him, then you're a Christian. If these wicked spirits are present in your life, besides taking back ground, I would also destroy any works that they've built in my life. Because once they come in, they start working to cause all kinds of pain and anguish. So I would, again, still praying, I would just say, I gather up any works that Satan has built in my life based on the ground I gave him. And I bind these works to this wicked spirit. When he leaves my life, he has to take all his junk with him. And then I would simply command, even as Jesus gave authority to do, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command this wicked spirit and all his works to leave me, to never return, and to go where Jesus Christ sends him. It's not so much memorizing words as much as realizing that we don't have to be afraid of the enemy, because one in us, Jesus Christ, is greater than the enemy. I wouldn't worry too much right now if you come, a lot of time you come to the conclusion that you must be going crazy. That's a real common thought that gets placed in our minds by the enemy. He tries to do everything he can to keep us from being healed. But Christ, because you're even listening to this tape, I know Christ has already intervened in your life. Christ has set his heart on you to bring you out of all this darkness and bring you out of all this anguish. Part of the anguish for me was that half of me believed that these memories had happened and the other half didn't believe it. I was always looking for clues that maybe I was believing a lie. But, you know, when I go to the Lord and say, Lord, did that really happen? I know inside that it did. At first, about 10 seconds after I asked the Lord that and he confirmed it to me, suddenly I'd be back again thinking, well, maybe not, though. You know, my parents or the people that I knew or people at college, or they didn't seem that bad. But the Lord had already ministered to me that it was true. So I decided that one of the good things to do was to just make the statement, whatever is true about my past, I choose to believe that. And then I didn't spend all my time trying to prove one way or the other that it was true or wasn't. I just said, whatever is true about my past, I choose to remember. There's a lot of roller coaster times up and down. I'm sure you found them when you're going through healing and also as you're trying to get out of the cults or the occult that you came from. One of the things that you can really do is to just make the decision, I'm never going back to that cult, those of you that have come out of specific cults. But you may recognize that parts of you inside still want to go back to the cult. When you sense whether it's coming to some high holy days or some specific days of where you seem drawn back to the cult or the occult, one of the things that I used to do is just cry out to God and say, hang on to me, God, hang on to me. And he would keep me safe. I've met other people that the parts inside get really involved with going back to the cults or whatever, choosing the demonic or whatever. But what I've found is if you go to the Lord and say, Lord, how can I close the doors for the parts inside? They're part of you. They're still you. And he may show you specific ways or specific times when the doors were open by the parts inside. And you can just affirm by faith, I close that door to the enemy. I refuse to allow it to ever be opened again. There's a lot of other things I wish I could tell you. I'm trying to think through in my brain some things that I might need to say. One of the things I think, as by way of encouragement, is please remember, it won't always be this way. It won't always be so horrible inside. It won't always be such anguish. I don't know if you're like so many of us that did a lot of self-abusing, a lot of cutting on ourselves, our wrists, our arms, or whatever. I hope that that's not the case with you, but if it is, don't be discouraged by that. That's just a symptom. That's a symptom of the anguish that's inside. It's a symptom that there's still places where truth needs to be put in place. So don't let anyone tell you that because you do that, you're not a Christian. You're a Christian if you've chosen Christ. And if that's happening, you know what I've encouraged some people to do? Usually right before something like that happens, before we self-abuse or before we go away to go to a cult meeting or whatever, there's a little window. I asked the Lord to give me a little window. I said, Lord, give me a little window of time when I can choose. Because once it started to spiral down and I started cutting myself, it was out of my control. I would say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to refuse to do this. And it's still, I just do it. But right at the beginning, and it takes a while, you need to learn how to discern this, because there's usually a little window of time when you see, uh-oh, this is starting again, when you can affirm truth, affirm your choices, and also pray. Ask God, Lord, it's happening again, and I don't want to do it. I refuse to do it. I don't want to harm myself. Help me, Lord. You've got to help me with this. God loves 911 prayers. He doesn't mind them at all. He's always on call. He's always on duty. See, that's, can you see why it's so important to get to know accurately who God is? Because I know, as I've said a couple times now, you should pray and ask God this. I know you're thinking, well, I never pray because I hate God. I don't pray. The enemy that tried to destroy you is working hard to get you to use, get you to take the unexplained things that have happened in your life and use them as a barrier to getting to know God. He might stick in your mind the thought, well, where was God? Why didn't he stop? You prayed back then and he didn't stop us from doing it. So he can't. He's too weak or whatever they tell you. You really need to come to a choice of saying, I don't know why he didn't stop those things from happening, but I'm going to put that to the side in what I call an unexplained box. I don't understand, but I think that I have distortions about God, because when I read about God or hear about God, it makes me so mad, or I can't hardly read the Bible or whatever symptom is there that shows that you have distortions about God. Come to the place where you're willing to, you're choosing to take that unexplained thing and set it aside temporarily and say, I'm putting it in this unexplained box. I'm still going to ask God, why didn't you stop them? But I'm not going to let the enemy use it as a barrier to my getting to know God, because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to make sure you never get healed. He wants to make sure you never come to know God. He wants to make sure that there's never an end to this pain. But God wants you to know him. God wants you to find a good end to this pain, not suicide, but a good end. God wants to finally bring you into wholeness and safety. Talks in scripture about how God is our refuge. There's a verse that says God is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and are safe. I used to run from God because I thought he wanted to kill me and thought he was horrible. But as I got to know him, at times when that little window of opportunity opened, before things started to get so intense and spiral down, as I called them, I used to say, God, hang on to me, and I could sense him putting me in the palm of his hand and then putting his other hand over me to keep me safe. That's like when it says the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into him and are safe. If you're like so many people, you never had a safe place as you were a kid. There was never a place you could go where you could be safe. Isn't it good to know you finally found a safe place? That safe place is Jesus Christ. That safe place is the God the Father, the one who is working to bring healing into your life.